Let's get ready to get in the Word this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning once again for the opportunity to bring your Word. I take it very seriously, and I don't take it for granted, Lord. So I ask for your anointing this morning. I ask for your help to bring your Word in your way. I pray that you give us an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying this morning, and that we just tune out everything, Lord, so that we can know what it is that you are saying and what our obedience is to you. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you guys remember a few years ago, very obviously remember, when Ann had her surgery and it went wrong. And those of you who don't know, just super quickly, my wife had a surgery and there was a mistake that was made. And it actually sent her into septic shock and she almost died. And so she was in ICU for 6 days and in the hospital for a month or so, a little over a month, and almost died. And really kind of a shocking thing for a thing. She was supposed to go in and have the thing and then come home, and then that thing turned into like a month of us for a while not knowing if she was going to make it or not. In the course of that time, as I said, she went septic because her insides were leaking into her insides. They tried to repair it. They messed up the repair. They tried to repair it again. And at that point, that her colon was so damaged at that point that when they tried to fix it, it would just shred as they were trying to sew it up. And so they actually, I'm not trying to be gross or anything. I just want to let you know what I'm trying to get at here is they actually had to leave her open for about a month. And she had a bag on where she would have to change that bag because her stuff is just coming out into the bag because there's nowhere else for it to go, and they had to give it time to heal. And so for about 3 months she was we would change the bag and change the bag and change the bag, and a lot of you guys were here through that trial. In the midst of that, we got a different doctor, and this other doctor came in, and at that point in the game, I was like pretty much like, there's never going to be an end to this thing. I don't know if my wife is going to have a bag for the rest of her life. I don't know what's going on. And this other doctor comes in and he's looking at her and he said, I could fix this. And at that point in the game, I'm just like, yeah, you know, I've heard that. You're the third one to come in and tell us that. And he's like, no, I can fix this, but I have to let you know that in order to fix it, you're going to have to wait these 3 months because it's got to get to this certain point of healing before I can do it. 6 months. Before I can do this. And so we waited the 6 months. I said 3 months. It was 6 months. And so the day we came to the surgery, we went in there, and the man of faith, because I'm a man of faith, amen? I am a man of faith. And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't going to work. So, I mean, I'm praying it. We got it on the prayer chain. We are fasting. We're doing everything. But when you've been in a place for 6 months and everything goes wrong after wrong after wrong after wrong after wrong, sometimes you may understand that it's hard when somebody else walks in and says, hey, we can take care of this, and they come in and with all the confidence in the world, and then you have to place everything in their hands. And so I'm waiting for the surgery, and I'm 85% expecting him to come out and say, we did everything we could to fix this, but we're not going to be able to fix it, and blah, 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 blah. And so I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. We had some family there. We had some people from the church there. And the doctor comes out, and I'm bracing myself. And he walks out, and he goes, it worked exactly as we thought it would. Everything went perfectly. And I got to tell you at that point, now, if you've ever been through an ordeal personally like that or with somebody that you love, when somebody comes out and tells you after all of that, all is well and everything is going to be fine, there's a certain amount of just that goes with that, amen? Because that's the news that you're looking for. Through the darkness, through the trial, through the struggle, through all of that, you're just looking for some good news. And I'll tell you, at that particular, that day, that doctor was my favorite person on the planet because he brought me good news. I was not discouraged by the fact that he brought me good news. Amen. I was needing good news. I was wanting good news. I was desperate for good news. And the doctor brought me the good news. And everything in my life just went, whew. For the first time in 6 months, I can breathe. Amen. How many of you have ever had, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but how many of you have ever had a situation that was just so bleak, and then in the middle of that, somebody came in and they just gave you good news in the middle of that? That's what I want to talk about this morning in the midst of what we've been talking about with the most important thing in the world. And as I said, because there's some folks here that haven't been here for this whole series, it is pretty bombastic to name a sermon series the most important thing in the world, right? So if you've been here, just bear with me for a second, because some folks haven't been here. If you're going to call something the most important thing in the world, you better have something to back that up. Amen? And so when I was trying to come up with this title, or trying to put together this series, I mean, this popped into my head because I thought to myself, what we talk about here relating to these things literally is the most important thing in the world. Why? Number one, if you've been here, you can probably quote this to me. Number one is because it's the only thing that will affect us in this life now and also into eternity. Because we have to understand that our lives are not just about right now. That every one of us, we're going to live this life, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, no matter how healthy we are, no matter how not healthy we are, no matter what our struggles, our background, no matter what happened, no matter what, there is going to be a day when we breathe our last. We don't like to talk about that. But if you are a believer in Christ, that's not a tough thing to talk about, because we're just stepping into life at the moment when this life ends. But so many people are living just for this life. And so they make the most important thing about this life. And that there are many things that are important, as we've said. Family and jobs and a place to live and security and all the things that we need. It's not that other things are not important, but there's one thing that is more important. There's one thing that is the most important. And that is, if you have your notes. If you don't have notes, we have some notes for you if you'd like to take notes. If not, that's fine too. But in your notes, you will see that this is my bottom line. If you forget everything else I say in this sermon this morning, please just remember this. To know and to help others to know Christ is the most important thing in the world. It's more important than your family. It's more important than your job. It's more important than your very life. To know and to help others know Christ is the most important thing in the world. Because you can have the list of important things all locked in this life, but you're still going to come to that point where you cross over that door into death, and the only thing that's going to carry you over into that place with God is that you know Christ. We're all going into eternity, right? And I know if you've been here, you're like, you already said this, but not everybody's been here, so just bear with me. Is we're going to cross that door of death, and we're going to go somewhere, because this life is not the end. We will either go to heaven and be with God for eternity in paradise, or we will go to hell and we will be separated from God forever in a place of torment. You shouldn't talk about that, Pastor. You can't get anybody to come to church if you talk about those things, Pastor. Listen, it's the Word of God. If you come or don't come, it doesn't make any difference to me. It's still the Word of God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Heaven to gain, hell to lose. And so the most important thing, because the only way to gain heaven, the only way to gain that eternity, the only way is through Jesus Christ. So to know him and to help others know him, because if I know him, that's all fine and good. But if everybody around me does not know him, then they're all lost, even though I'm on my way to heaven shouting victory. Amen? And so in the last couple messages, what we've been talking about is, first of all, we talked about how it relates to us, how we personally need to know Jesus Christ to gain heaven. Last week, we talked about the fact that once you know Jesus Christ, it's not just that we sit around and wait to die and go to heaven, that he has a purpose for us right now. And there is the will of God that he wants for us right now, and how we can step into that and find that. And we have to know that in Christ. There's no other way. But today I want to kind of shift it just a little bit, and I want to talk about this. It's not enough just to know Jesus and to know what your own personal purpose is. We are also called as believers to go out. We are sent. We are sent to go out and tell others about this very same good news that we have received. So if you're in your notes this morning, it says this: God's intent is not just that we be saved, but that we also be sent. God's intent is not just that we be saved, but that we also be sent. Now listen, this is for every believer. Every believer is called and sent to preach the gospel. Everyone. Well, I just got saved yesterday, Pastor. I don't know anything. You are sent. You are called to go preach the gospel. I've been in the church for 50 years. I did my thing. I'm old and I'm retired. You are called and you are sent to preach the gospel. I have a bad background, Pastor. I had addiction. I had struggles. I had hurts. I had all of that. Good. Bring them to Jesus. Get healed. Get over it. You are called to be sent to go out and to preach the gospel. We got too many excuses in the church. Too many, I'm too dysfunctional, I'm too broke, I'm too hurt, I'm too much past, I'm too old, I'm too young, I'm too somewhere in the middle. I just got married, I'll do it when I get older, I just had kids, I can't do it because I got kids. We are all called and sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the commission. There are two main places. There are some others too, but two main places in the scripture where we see this. Mark chapter 16, Matthew chapter 28. I want to talk about Mark chapter 16 today just for a little bit. So if you're in your notes, Mark chapter 16 says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. Right? That's pretty straightforward, is it not? Well, you see, Pastor, when time passed and there were dispensations of things, and then God decided that he didn't want to do these things anymore, it says what it says. We are called to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe will be saved. Those that do not believe will be condemned. These are the only two choices. Salvation or condemnation. Those are the only two choices. And so Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go into all the world and tell them that if they will believe in me, they will be saved. And if they don't believe, they won't be saved. And I just want to let you know this. If you're obedient to go out and do what I'm asking you to do, in whatever way that you need to be empowered to do that, I'm going to give you the power to do it. Now, see, a lot of people, they'll go, well, that means that we got to bring in the rattlesnakes into church and dance around with rattlesnakes. Or we got to go bring some arsenic or something into the church and all drink it to prove our faith. That's not the point that he's trying to make. The point that he's trying to make is, as you go in obedience to preach the gospel, I will take care of you and I will empower you so that when you preach it, you're not out there alone by yourself trying to figure it out, that there will be an authority behind you that will back up the words that you're saying. But what we have to understand is that we are all sent. Well, you're the pastor. You're the one that is sent. You're correct. I am sent. But just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean that you aren't. If you are here, if you're here the first time today, there is a calling on your life to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. I just walked in the door, Pastor. I don't even know what you're talking about. That's okay. We can let you know about it. But you have to know deep down in there, there's a purpose in us that is greater than us. There's a purpose in me that is greater than me. And if I surround my life just trying to do what I want to do for me, I will never step into the purpose for which I am created. But if I understand there's a purpose in me that is bigger than me, then I give that out to all the world. And then God comes behind me and says, I'll let him know as you go. I'll let him know that you're telling the truth. So we are all sent, amen? We are all sent, amen? We are all sent, amen? Now, if you said amen, then you just stepped in it. Because you just admitted and accepted the calling to go and preach the gospel. So I want to use this analogy, sent, and I am going to try to be a little bit short today because it is a beautiful day outside. But I want to preach the gospel this morning, amen? So I want to use this word sent as a little bit of an acronym this morning. Number one, if you have your notes, is salvation. It's all about salvation. Everything is about salvation. Everything is about salvation. Well, I'm gifted as a prophet, as a pastor, as a teacher, as an evangelist, as an apostle. I have the gift of healing. I have the gift of tongues. I have the gift of teaching. I have the gift of helps. I have the gift of giving. I have all of that is about salvation. Can I get even one amen on that? All of that, all of the gifts are given to the church, not so that we can run around going, hey, everybody, look at my gift. I'm awesome. All of the gifts are given to the church for the purpose of bringing people into salvation. See, I'm a simple man. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I admit that. I like things simple. I understand simple things. I understand this. Everything in my life is wrapped around being saved and helping other people get saved. That's what everything is about. That's what your job is about. Well, I work because I'm making money for my family so I can feed my family. Yeah, that's secondary. You are placed in the place where you work so that you can be a light for the gospel. The house that you live in, the neighborhood that you live in, the place where you hang out, that's not about you. That is a calling where God has placed you so that you can attempt to bring salvation to a place where there is not salvation. Right? I live on Stillwater Drive over in Empire. I'm not on Stillwater Drive in Empire because I like that house. Miraculous circumstances for how we ended up in that house. But the bottom line of me being there is I have to try to be some kind of light to my neighbors. To use whatever God has given me to bring salvation to others. If you look at verse 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Say everybody. You're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to say there. You just stumbled all over yourself. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That means that wherever we go, everybody we come across the path of, we need to be looking for an opportunity. Now, will we always get an opportunity? No, and we should not run around with this big giant guilt thing on our shoulders all the time because we're not doing enough. But everywhere we go, we ought to be looking for the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Amen? Amen. Yes, Pastor, amen. What's the gospel? It's good news. Like literally, if you look at the definition there, and the word there for gospel, it's in your notes, is euangelion. But doesn't it look like something else? It looks like evangelism. This is where we get the word evangelism from. This word for gospel. The evangelism at its core is to go out and share the gospel. And so when you look at these things, and a lot of times you're like, I don't know why you do these Greek words, Pastor. You don't have to remember the word. Just remember what it means. To go out, go into all the world and preach the glad tidings. Now, tidings is another one of them words we never use except at Christmas. We all use it at Christmas. Glad tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We don't even think about what we're singing. What are the glad tidings of Christmas? It's the gospel. It's not we wish you a Merry Christmas and you go out and put a thing on your tree, although that's totally fine. The glad tidings of Christmas is that Jesus is here. Jesus is alive. Jesus came into this world. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus died a brutal, brutal, brutal death on the cross. And 3 days later, he came back to life. That's good news. You're like, I don't know why that's good news. Hang on, I'll tell you in just a second if you don't know. A lot of you already know, but some of you don't, maybe. The good news, the glad tidings of Christ. The glad tidings of Christ. And then that second part of that definition is the proclamation of the grace of God manifest and pledged in Christ. So what I want you to know this morning is this. The perfect life, death, and resurrection of Christ is connected to the grace of God. And those two things cannot be separated from each other. The grace of God is what brought the cross of Christ. And the cross of Christ is because of the grace of God. I mean, I realize for some this is like Christianity 101, but if we ever lose the awe and wonder of this, we're in trouble. You go, well, why am I in trouble? Well, because of what it started with. Because we are born sinners. We are born. Now, I saw a sign the other day, and I know what they meant. It was at another church. I know what they meant, but they put something up on their sign that was a total, complete untruth about the Word of God. And I know what they meant, but it was lost in the translation. And it says on this sign, sin is not inherited, but it is contagious. And I know what they were shooting for, but it is a lie that sin is not inherited. Because in Romans, it tells us that in Adam, sin was passed down to every one of us. Right? So you are born into sin. It is inherited. It's inherited from your knucklehead mom and dad, Adam and Eve, back in the day. You are born in sin. That sin separates you. You're like, Pastor, you're preaching this every week. Yes, I am. Paul said, I glory only in this, the cross of Jesus Christ. Right? Now, there's other things to preach about, but in the day and age we live in right now, I think there needs to be a little bit of refocus on the basic things of us going out and telling people about Jesus. Sin is absolutely inherited because of Adam and Eve. It isn't because of what you did when you were born, but let me tell you something. The seed of that is in you is going to cause you to do those things. Amen? Eventually, that's going to come out because it's in your DNA. Am I, you guys all right this morning? Is this too much this morning? Too heavy on the gospel this morning? This is why you need the cross of Jesus. This is why you need the resurrection of Jesus. This is why we had to have the grace of God, which set in motion the plan for Jesus. Because without that, we are completely and totally lost, separated from God for an eternity. And I was talking to Jake the other week, and he was talking about a podcast that he was listening to. And the person in the podcast said something, and I mentioned this again because when he told me, it impacted me. He said, if you are in hell, you will be there for 10,000 years. And after 10,000 years of torment and separation from God, you might think to yourself, well, that'll be the end. I can get out of here. And then you will be realizing that at 10,000 years that you are still there for another infinity past that. That after 10,000 years of weeping and gnashing of teeth and separation from God, you will only have the comfort of knowing that you will be there forever. If that does not impact us, we are in trouble as a church. Because the fact of the matter is, your neighbors and my neighbors and your coworkers and the people walking down this street, that many of them are headed to that 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 times 10,000 of years in torment and separation from God. And yet God has put the good news right in your mouth and in your mind and in your heart so that you can open up your mouth and say, you do not have to go down that road. There are people that are living in some kind of hell and torment right now in this very life. And he's put the word inside of you to say there is hope even in this life, and there is hope for an eternity that is to come. Amen? So if you are in your notes, there's salvation. The glad tidings, the good news of Christ is connected to the proclamation of the grace of God, because in God's in God's plan, he has called us to speak the word, and through the speaking and the preaching and the proclamation of the word, his power comes out and saves people. Amen? So the E, that's the salvation. The E in our thing is the empowerment. Verse 17 says, these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. Now, we don't have to talk about all what he said, the speaking in tongues and taking up serpents and all that kind of stuff. Just know this, that he says, I want you to go into all the world. Listen to me. If we are called to go into the entire world, we're over our head. Because sometimes I'm having a hard time getting to my neighbors. Sometimes I'm having a hard time getting my own self straightened out. And he says, by the way, I want you to go to the whole world and tell them the good news of Jesus. Oh, well, you know, I can't go out and do that because of all this stuff I got going on inside of me. I need to go sackcloth and ashes a little bit more to get myself right. Listen to me. While we're in sackcloth and ashes, while we're sitting around in our own self and our own selfishness, the world is going to hell in a handbasket to the 10,000 times 10,000 in eternity in hell, and we're sitting around making excuses for things that are in our life that should have been gone a long time ago. I get one amen on that. I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of it when I had it in my notes there, but I'm going to say it anyway. All right. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor. We are over our heads. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Listen to me. To go to the world and preach the gospel means that you are over your head. Because there ain't a thing that I can say that's going to save anybody. There ain't a thing I can do. There's not a religious activity enough. There's not enough songs I can sing, not enough scriptures I can memorize, not enough church services and Bible studies that I can go to that in and of myself is going to change anybody's life. And Jesus says, look, I already know that. So I'm going to be the one to give you the power to do that when you are over your head. I will give you the power and I'll give you the authority. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He told his disciples Listen, this is Tom's words and Tom's paraphrase, but you understand what I'm saying. He told his disciples before he went back to heaven, he said, you're in over your head. And so what I want you, I don't want you to go talk to anybody. I want you to go to the world. Jesus can be confusing sometimes. He says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to go to Jerusalem and not do anything until the Holy Spirit comes. Wait a minute. Do you want me to go to the world or do you want me to go wait? How long do you want us to wait until the Holy Spirit comes? When's the Holy Spirit coming? Huh? How will we know? Oh, you'll know. When the Holy Spirit comes, you'll know. So just wait because you're over your head. But if you get this Holy Spirit that I'm sending back, I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to sit at the right hand of the Father, and I'm going to intercede for you. But I'm going to send my Holy Spirit back to you, and that Holy Spirit is going to be in you. And when he comes, you'll know it. And when he comes out of you, there's going to be a power in your actions. There's going to be a power in your words. There's going to be an authority in what you do. And that power and that action and that authority has the Spirit of God inside of it that can save somebody's life. We should not run from this calling, church. We should run to this calling, because who are we that we deserve to be able to do something that unbelievable? That something that I would say or something I could do could be a seed that comes out into somebody's life by the Holy Spirit, not me, and would change their life. And 10,000 times 10,000 years into eternity, we will be standing there side by side in heaven, and that I'm the reason that they're there. Why would we ever run from that? Why would we ever let fear stop us from stepping into that? Why would we ever let doubt stop us? Why would we stop seeking the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can have that coming through us? Why would we not want that at all? The word there in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. Most of you already know that. The word there is dunamis, strength, power, ability. But here's one caveat I want to say, and then I'm going to move forward. And we are Pentecostal. I'm an unashamedly Pentecostal. I'm charismatic. I'm Pentecostal. I'm whatever you want to call me. If you want to call me a hang on a chandelier, holy roller, you call me whatever you want to call me. I don't care. People say those things because it's supposed to be a put down. I don't care. I don't just get down and do it. But if God hits me and I end up on the floor, I'm going to be on the floor. I don't care. That's not decorum. That's not decently and in order. I don't know. Decently in order, when the Holy Spirit came, they all got filled with the Holy Spirit and everybody thought they were drunk. I guess they weren't decently in order. See, my point is this, is that a lot of times, though, even though I am an unashamed Pentecostal, and I'll go to my grave that, because I believe the Word of God is what it says. But I also know that in the Pentecostal church, sometimes we like to use the power of the Holy Spirit for our personal entertainment. I didn't get any amens on that, but I'm still preaching the truth here. Somebody, David, give me a prophetic word. Jennifer, give me a prophetic drawing. Somebody, give me a prophetic song. Somebody lay hands on me and let me be majorly healed. Listen, I'm for all that. The Word of God says those things will happen, right? Amen. You lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But sometimes, instead of it being a tool that helps us preach the gospel so that people will be saved, we run around going, look at me, I'm awesome. I have the gift of healing. I've got the gift of prophecy. I've got the gift of this and the gift of that and everything. And we have great services. And sometimes people will fall on the floor, and sometimes people will speak in tongues, sing all these things. Good, great. Wonderful. If it's not leading people to salvation, it's just a big old fraudulent show. I don't know. We don't like to hear that in a church, but it's still true. I'm for all of it. Do not misunderstand me. I wish that God would roll in here with the wind of the Holy Spirit, drop tongues of fire on your head right now, that we would all act drunk and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That would be better than you having to sit here listening to me this morning. But if it happens, it would be for a purpose. It wouldn't be so that we could go on Facebook after service today and say, whoa, that was the greatest service ever. Listen, go on Facebook, say it was the greatest service ever. But that's not the point. If you're in your notes, the empowerment of God is not for self-amusement. It is for gospel advancement. The empowerment of God is not for self-amusement. It is for gospel advancement, because it's all about salvation. So the S was salvation. The E was empowerment. The N is this, necessity. It is a necessity. I'm almost done here, so just hang with me, but please hear what I'm saying. This is not an option for the believer in Christ. You know, we got a thing going on in our world right now today. They're like, Joe, I know that you're a Christian, and that's fine that you're a Christian, but you just go over and be a Christian and shut your mouth. You don't try to proselytize, and you don't try to tell anybody about Jesus. You just go over there and be a Christian over there in a corner by yourself. I'm going to tell you something. That actually is not being a Christian. If this is, well, it's just my personal faith, I just keep it to myself, and I don't want to tell anybody, and I don't want to offend anybody. Then you're not being a Christian. Well, being a Christian is about being saved. Listen to me. Being a Christian is being like Christ. And if we're going to be like Christ, then we have to be obedient. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the final commandments that he gave were that we go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if I have a personal faith, I don't have a biblical faith. That'll get me in trouble somewhere. But if it's just a personal faith, I don't have a biblical faith. Because a biblical faith is obedience to Christ. And Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I didn't get no amens, but that's still good. It's good preaching this morning. Look at verse 15 and 16 again. It says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. That is why it is necessity. Because those who do not believe, those who do not hear and receive, they are condemned to an eternity without Jesus, guys. I wish somehow, like Paul, if I could get down on my knees and say, please hear what I'm saying. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would hear what I'm saying. Because Coos County, for the most part, is going to hell today because the gospel is not going out the way it needs to. Now you're like, man, I'm feeling all judgy. I feel like you're judging. I'm not trying to bring a judgment or a condemnation, but I am asking the Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we have to get out of ourselves and get out of the me and get out of what do I want, what do I desire, and realize that while I am doing that, the country, the county is going to hell. It's pretty heavy, Pastor. That's all right. You can go enjoy the sunshine when we're done. I'm almost done. But we have to know while we're out enjoying the sunshine that most of Coos County is on their way to hell. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Now, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. Without Christ, there is no hope for salvation. That's in your notes. Without Christ, there is no hope for salvation. And man, church, do we not live in a hopeless world right now? We live in a hopeless world right now. Everybody's mad at everybody. Everybody's running amok, doing, as Scripture says, everybody ran around and did what was right in their own eyes. But while everybody's running around doing what is right in their eyes, everything just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Somebody's got to step into the middle of that darkness and say, there is a light. It's not easy. It's not always going to be daisies and rainbows. It's not like you're going to come to Jesus and all your problems will be fixed. But ultimately, they will. Because you believe in something that can bring something into your life that you cannot attain on your own. If I were to say to you today, you are going to hell and there is no hope, and you knew that was true, how would that hit you? No matter what you do for the rest of your life. I'm almost done, so please hang with me. I know this is a heavy message this morning. I can only preach it the way that I get it. What if you knew that was true and that there was no hope? It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how many good things you try to do. It doesn't matter what you do, that you don't commit one sin for the entire rest of your life and you are still condemned to hell. That's hopeless. But then what if I could walk into the middle of that? See, I think that's what the world is missing right now, is they don't understand that that is their fate. But somebody steps into the middle of that and says, look, there is a way. Like that doctor that walked into the room when I don't know if my wife's going to make it or not, or whether she's going to have a hole in her gut for the rest of her life. And he walks into that room and says, there is a way to fix this. And I just need you to trust me that what I tell you is the way. And you're not going to know, really, truly, you're not going to know and experience in its fullness that it's the way until you're on the other side of it. But I need you to trust me right now. You go, well, I don't know if I would believe that or not. Listen, if you are in that desperate of a place where you knew there was no hope, I bet you would receive it. There is a necessity, church, that we go into the world and preach the gospel. I'm headed into my last thing here, but I had a terrible thing happen here a few days ago. James Caan died. You guys know who James Caan is? James Caan's a great actor, right? He's a great actor. I've liked James Caan for a long time. And some people will say, I like him because of this movie and that movie. I like James Caan because he was Buddy's dad in the movie Elf. Greatest movie. Greatest Christmas movie ever made. And here's James Caan. My son texted me, because I hadn't heard about that he had passed. My son texted me and said, Buddy the Elf's dad died. It's like, no, not Buddy the Elf's dad. And I went on Twitter, because nothing is, you can't confirm anything until you see it trending on Twitter, right? So I went on Twitter and I checked it, and it's like, man, sure enough, he died. And there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tweets. And everybody's tripping out because this guy died, right? And the reason is because he had a name. Everybody was all interested in it because he had a name. It's a big deal because he died because he had a name. Listen to me. Everybody that's going to hell without Jesus also has a name. There are thousands of names, thousands of sons, thousands of daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, grandparents, mothers, fathers, friends, co-workers, acquaintances, and they all have a name, and God loves them all, but they will still be separated from him because they do not know who he is. And God has put into you the ability to help them out of that predicament. The last thing is this: today, not only is it a necessity, but it's a necessity that we grab a sense of urgency as believers. That we get a sense of urgency about this. That it bothers us. I'm in the last 2 or 3 minutes of what I'm going to say here. I promise. But it needs to bother us. I feel like sometimes in the church we've gotten to the point, and I get this way too, so I'm not throwing any stones at anybody because they get this way too. We get so wrapped up in just doing the minutiae of going to church and Bible study and doing all the things, and they're all important. They're all important. They're all connected, but they're all important because of the salvation. And we lose the intensity of understanding that for some this may be it. For some. Now, I know we've heard a billion stories about it. I was going to read this verse to you. In verse 15 there, it says, go into all the world to preach the gospel. Let me just give you this couple things for your notes. And then, to go means to pursue the journey on which you have entered, to continue on the journey, to pursue it. Pursue going into the world, to pursue. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want to finish today by sharing a story, and I know if you've been in the church for a long time, you've heard a lot of stories like this. I'm sure you have. Just about every evangelistic message you'll hear, there'll probably be a story, something like this somewhere along the way. But I'm going to tell you this one is totally true because it was involved with me. Sometimes I hear pastors preach or whatever, and I'm like, they're probably just making up that story, right? They gave $5, and they got a check for $1 million in the mail the next day, right? And you're like, did that really happen? I don't know. It's kind of, maybe he just wants me to give him the offering or something. A lot of times when there's evangelistic messages going out, that somebody will say something like what I'm about to say here, but this one is totally true because I was involved. When I was youth pastoring, we had a thing here in the area. It was a bunch of different churches, and it was called Bay Rock, and it was Bay Area Youth Reaching Out for Christ. And so once a month, there for a time, there was all these different youth groups that were getting together, and and you know, different churches would do worship and different youth pastors would preach and all those kind of things. And we did one night, and I was actually out there by Empire Lakes, kind of out there where they're going to build the library, that building there. And we were in that building, and we did worship. It was awesome. It's just another night, right? Like, if I'm being totally honest with you, I went into that meeting, like, because I led worship that night. Somebody else preached with our youth worship team. And I went in there, and all I'm thinking about is, we got to get the song right, we got to get the stuff set up, and got to make sure the speakers are right and all that kind of stuff. And I was so caught up in the minutiae of doing the worship that I wasn't really thinking about that maybe God will really show up and do something. And I'm just caught up in the minutiae. And so we did the thing. It was good. It was cool. The youth pastor from our church, actually, at that time, and we were just helping, and he stood up, and he gave his message. And at the end of the message, he said, look, for some of you in this room, this could be your last day, and you don't know that. You don't know that. Now, this is a group of, like, 13 to 16, 17-year-olds, right? So for a youth pastor to stand, that's what youth pastors say, right, because they got to, like, scare them into the kingdom or whatever, right? So he's like, some of you, you don't know that you have the rest of this day. And some of you might not, there's a chance that some of you could not wake up tomorrow. And, you know, you can tell in the room because they're all 13, 14, 15 years. Oh, yeah, sure, whatever. But there was a pretty decent altar call. Some kids came up. And there was a group of kids from one of the other churches out in Empire. And they went out on Seven Devils Road. They left there. They drove out on Seven Devils Road and got in a car wreck. And one of the kids that was in that meeting not 2 hours before was killed. Now, in all of my stuff and my minutiae of we're reaching out for Christ and all that, all I was really thinking about was trying to make sure that the music was right and all that kind of thing. And that's all good. That's all important. It's all part of that, right? But not for one second did I think that there would actually be somebody there who would not make it to the next day. Unbelievable situation. Not just that it happened, because sometimes that happens, but not 2 hours before he had been in a meeting where the guy preaching said, some of you don't know that you are going to make it to tomorrow. How many people are we going to meet that we don't know if they're going to make it to tomorrow? Now listen, what I want to finish with this is, I'm not trying to guilt. Because I know messages like this make people feel all guilty, and then they're going to go out and preach the gospel, and then they don't do it enough, and then they get discouraged, and then they feel like they're failures. That's not the point of this message. The point of the message is just this. We really need to go back as a church, and we need to recapture what it is that we're here for. We're not here just to sing songs. We're not here just to have Bible studies. We're not here just to have CR so that people can get free from addictions. We're not here just to have prayer meetings. We're not here just so that we can get enough money to keep the lights on so we got a building that we can call a church. We are here to pull people out of hell. I will butcher the quote, but C.T. Studd, some of you might know who that is. He was an old preacher guy back in the day. He said, some people want to, you know, be in this nice little comfortable, I know I'm butchering this quote terribly, but they want to be in this nice little restful place far away from hell. He said, I want to set up a hospital right next to the gates of hell. That's what he wanted his ministry to be about. Because over there in the comfort zone, there's no conviction. Over there in the comfort zone, people are dying and going to hell. But when you set up shop next to the gates of hell and you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, because you can't do it, you allow the Holy Spirit to work through you and you start snatching people up out of hell, that's why you're here. Whatever is in the way of that needs to go out of your life. Whatever past, whatever hurt, whatever offense, whatever brokenness, whatever excuse, whatever fear, whatever doubt, whatever I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, whatever that is that keeps you from being used of God to snatch people out of hell needs to go out of your life, and it needs to go out today. Because God is looking for somebody. We used to sing this song. I'm going to pray right now. We used to sing this song. We used to go to this big youth conference down in California. And they used to sing this song, and you know, youth, so you just sing the same thing over and over again. And they had this thing that said, someone in this generation is going to make a noise that's going to shake the nation. And they would just keep singing that. Someone in this generation is going to make a noise that's going to shake a nation. What if God's trying to use you to be the one to make the noise? Oh, no, not me, Pastor. That needs to go out of your life today. Now, immediately, that needs to go out of your life. Because you are called to go into the world and preach the gospel. Now listen, you can't go preach the gospel if you're not saved yourself. So I want to pray this morning. If you're in this room, my assumption is that everybody in this room knows Jesus. Right? But if you're in here this morning and you do not, I want to pray with you. I ain't trying to embarrass you. I ain't trying to do nothing. But you do need to make a decision today. So if everybody would, I know some people don't like the way that I do this. I really don't care because I'm not interested in shows. I'm interested in salvations. So if you would just bow your head with me, and I just want to ask if there's anybody in this room, bow your head, close your eyes. I ain't trying to embarrass nobody. If you're in this room this morning and you've never accepted Jesus, but you know that you need that, he's your help today. This is not just about dying and going to hell and being lost. It's about being free and have purpose in this life right now. If you don't have that in this room this morning and you just want to pray, because it's as simple as praying and believing in what Jesus did. Can you just put your hand up and you can put it back down? And I just want to pray with you. Anybody? I got you. Anybody else? Anyone else? All right, well, everybody pray this prayer with me this morning. Just say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm lost. I know that I deserve hell. But I know you're a good God. And I know, Jesus, that you died for me. And because of your blood, my sins can be forgiven. I believe that today. I trust you. I ask you to forgive me. Set me on a new path. I'll follow you every day. Empower me with your Holy Spirit so that I can preach the gospel myself. I thank you today that I am saved and that I am free. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer this morning and you believe it, then your life is new and different now. So one thing, I'm going to pray, I'm going to dismiss you all. If you raised your hand, two things. If you raised your hand, if you could just meet me over in this room just for a second, and if you did not raise your hand, but you thought you might want to raise your hand, can you just meet me over in this room just for a second when we're done here? And I won't take up a lot of time, I just want to give you something. And so we're going to pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you for the commission, Lord. Sometimes the commission can feel like this heavy thing, this heavy burden on us. But, Lord, it is our privilege and our honor to be able to share your word, that we can be the one that comes in and brings good news. The word says how lovely on the mountains is the one that brings good news. And you've placed that inside of us, Lord. And if we have even the most basic understanding of who you are, Jesus, that you lived a perfect life, died, and rose again, and because of that, we can be free. If we have that even basic understanding, you can use that to change the world. So I pray for every person that's in this room that you would use us to change the world. Help us to shake off, Father God, the inferiority the enemy wants to put on us and the lies that says we cannot make a difference, Lord, because you've placed us here for that very reason. So we ask for your Holy Spirit empowerment. We ask for your leading, your wisdom, and your guidance. Pray as we're leaving here today, Lord, that you bless and keep everyone that's here and watching on live stream. That you bless them and keep them, cause your face to shine on them, that you be gracious to them, show them favor and give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you guys.